Today is the first Sunday of Advent. As you notice, we have the trees, the decorations, the banners, the candles. And throughout Advent, we're going to do a sermon series based on this book, On the Way to Bethlehem by Ralph Fouquet. And basically, do you remember him? He's still with us. We're going to take the journey on the way to Bethlehem this Advent season. Now, Advent often begins with the soft glow of candlelight, the gentle singing of O Come Emmanuel, and our hearts leaning toward the manger. But Luke does not begin the story in Bethlehem. Luke actually begins the story in Rome. Hear the word of the Lord in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So Luke begins the story not in Bethlehem, but in Rome. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. Before we ever see the star, before we ever hear angels singing, we hear about a census issued by an emperor who sits on a distant throne. Rome reminds us of the reality of the Israelites. They lived under an occupying force beyond their control. They long for more. It's Luke's way of reminding us that the first Christmas begins with people who feel small under the weight of a very large world. Rome, therefore, was a place of longing. Longing for freedom, longing for dignity, longing for God to show up. And that longing is where hope begins. Luke tells us that all went to their own towns to be registered. Mary and Joseph didn't choose their journey. It was imposed on them by a decree they never heard spoken, issued by a ruler they would never meet. Many of us know what that feels like. We get news we didn't ask for. How many of us ever had that before in your life? We face circumstances we didn't choose. How many of you are in those circumstances right now? We carry burdens that arrived at our door uninvited. When we feel powerless, when life feels dictated by forces beyond us, like economics, politics, health, family dynamics, we are standing right where Mary and Joseph stood on the road under someone else's decree. And it is here on this uncomfortable road that God begins the story of hope. Hope doesn't begin when everything is going well. Hope begins when we realize we need it. In the ancient world, Rome seemed invincible. Augustus called himself the Son of God, Prince of Peace, and Savior of the world, not Jesus, Augustus. But Luke is doing something subversive here. He sets the emperor's decree next to God's quiet work in a young woman and a carpenter. The world sees Augustus making history, but God sees Mary and Joseph fulfilling prophecy. The world hears the emperor's command, but God whispers, "Watch what I am about to do in Bethlehem." Rome represents everything that feels overwhelming: oppression, injustice, systems too big to fix, powers too fix to change. But Luke wants us to see the truth clearly. God's hope is not threatened by the world's power. God's hope often rises in spite of it, and sometimes because of it. The decree of Caesar becomes the instrument that leads Mary and Joseph exactly where the prophecy said the Messiah will be born. Rome meant it for control. Do you know why they were taking censuses? What they're really looking for was to get taxes. And do you know where those taxes went? To their military. And you know what the military did to the Israelites? It was the power that controlled the Israelites. See, Rome meant it for control, but God used it for redemption. Hope is not optimism. Optimism is believing things will get better because the circumstances look like they're improving. Hope goes way before that. Hope is believing God is working even when the circumstances don't show it yet. Romans chapter 8, verses 24-25 says, "For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what one already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Mary carried hope quite literally, didn't she? She carried the child who was hope. But nothing in her day-to-day life looked comforting, looked hopeful. Think about it. She was young and poor. She was far from home. She was traveling under political pressure. She was about to give birth on the road. Yet, hope was growing inside her. Some of us today feel exactly like that, carrying hope that hasn't yet been born. Hope carried in the dark, hope carried in uncertainty, hope carried in longing. And Advent tells us that is still hope. That is still hope. Luke begins the Christmas story with the most powerful man in the world, but he ends the story with shepherds kneeling at the manger of a powerless child. Advent is the reminder that kings rise and fall, but God's kingdom endures. Empires flex their powers, but God moves in humility. The world announces decrees, God whispers promises. God has already told you and promised you as well. Rome makes demands, but Christ brings grace. Where Rome brings pressure, Christ brings peace. Where Rome demands travel, Christ draws us home. Where Rome issues commands, Christ offers invitation. Caesar moves the world around to count it. Christ moves the world around to save it. Hope doesn't wait for a perfect condition. Hope is born on the road, in the midst of struggle, inconvenience, and longing. So on this first week of Advent, as we stand spiritually in Rome, I want us to take a moment right now to acknowledge the places in our lives where we feel powerless or overwhelmed. Where is that in your life today where you feel powerless, where you feel overwhelmed? Take a moment. Name those places. Name those fears. Name those burdens. Now, if you have those places, Luke reminds us this. Christ, meet us in the midst of chaos and fear. He meets us in the place where we feel helpless to know how to help others. He meets us when we get so weary of the world, the way it is, that we just want to crawl in bed and pull over our head our covers. He meets us in our deep longings, but not always in obvious ways. We have to go looking. We have to seek, even if we aren't expecting to find, because then we open ourselves to the possibility of God showing up and telling us, I am here. I am working. There is reason to hope. So in the midst of our lives where we feel powerless or overwhelmed, we also claim this promise. God is already ahead of us, preparing Bethlehem. The decree of the emperor cannot stop the plan of God. The journey you did not choose may lead you exactly where you need to be. And the hope you carry, however small, is already being shaped into joy. So take heart, lift your eyes. Hope is not an escape from reality. Hope is God's quiet work within reality. The road may be long, but it is leading us to Bethlehem, and God is already waiting there. I'll end with this. I think it was Layla who was hoping for a snow, right? Was it her who said that? Well, my hope is that too. Even though the science says we weren't going to have it, I hope for a white Christmas. I hope for snow. I also hope that people have Christ. Realize God in their lives. For people to have hope, to have peace, to experience joy, to have love for themselves and others. A hope for the day when God's kingdom is manifested here on earth. A hope for the day when people of God can be set free and to be truly who they have been meant to be, who they were called to be, who God created them to be. I hope for that day. I don't see that now, like I don't see the snow, but I do still hope for that day. And because of this hope, I'm going to not just stay in despair, not give up, not surrender, but because of this hope, I'm going to continue to share good news with you all. I'm going to continue to share good news with the children. I'm going to continue to remind people over and over and over until you guys get sick of me that you are not alone and that God is with you and God loves you so, so much. And I hope you know that for yourself and the people around you, and that you have that same love for yourself and for others around you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.